When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. The full house is in the house. Within the house, we have Oscar, Tony, Raisa, myself. And how's everybody's tans doing?
Yeah. Ooh. Everywhere you look, we're all tan. This is full house.
This is the brown full house. If you're not brown, you're not allowed.
What?
I'm kidding.
If you're not brown, you're not allowed. The newest tagline of Spanish Aquí Presents. I love it.
Tony, good thing you got a little bronzed up, because if not, I don't know.
Mira. Halfies are hotties, okay?
Oh.
I've always said that.
Halfies are hotties.
Halfies are hotties.
Oh, you guys what's up with all these, like, phrases that we're coming up with? Like, yeah.
Do you guys want to see my tan line or not?
Oh, my Lord.
Yes or no?
Oscar, like, show us
I won't show
line.
You
yeah,
my whole...
Show us your tan line. Go
I'm
ahead.
Not going to show you guys full tetas, but you get...
Can I do a screen grab?
Let me see if I can't see.
I'm
oh,
a
you can
bit.
See a little discoloration.
Oh, yeah. Discoloration.
It's a
Dr. Santos over here.
You could, yeah. Thanks. Carlos.
What was that?
I'm dog sitting. And the dog did not like that.
Dog did not like seeing no, my younger
the tetas.
No,
dog is vehemently against breast boobs.
Oye, pero coño. Por favor, perro.
Mira que ese perro es.
What a guttural reaction to Raisa flashing the screen.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, I know I'm peeling in the middle, but geez.
Oh my gosh. Wait, speaking of parties, y'all, I saw Tony in person last weekend.
What?
That's right.
Where?
It was wild. At a pool party of all places.
Oh, that's right. You were at a pool party for 4th of July.
Yeah, it was a 4th of July party. I went there and I saw Tony, and it was like the most bizarre thing. Because, like, I see Tony all the time on Zoom, but it was the first time I saw him in person. And we had a moment of, like, whoa.
Yeah.
You did the magic mirror? You did the mirror exercise?
We did them. Exactly. We didn't even need words. We just did that.
We didn't. It was wild.
It was.
Tony, it was wild to see you in person.
It really was. And I think what you just said, it took both of us. Like, wait a minute. We see each other every week, but oh.
This was the first time in a year or more, right?
More than a year and a half.
That's crazy.
Since our last UCB show.
Right. I think out of all of us, Carlos, I haven't seen you the longest officially.
You've seen me
the most. Yeah, because I've seen Raisa the most.
I've seen everybody the most.
Yeah.
Not surprised. Not surprised, honestly. I'm just...
Also, not to brag either, right, Raisa?
Not to brag. I'm just really thirsty to see my friends all the time.
Wait, Oscar, you've been going out a lot, because didn't you go to Disney, too?
I did go to Disney, yeah.
A follow-up on the Disney, though, just real quick. Uh-huh. Since, you know, I mean, we're on the pod, and I know we got Pica that has been itching Carlitos and Tony.
Tony, mostly.
Just wait, listeners.
How were the lines? Because I got an email of, like, how cheap they're going to, like, try to sell the tickets soon. Mm-hmm. Tony is waving his
I went a few weeks ago.
And I heard it was insanely packed, and, like, the line, it's not worth it right now. Because I was going to try to go. I've never been to Disney.
Yes. And that is correct. Yes. The lines are ridiculous. It is, like, packed. Even though they say that it's like, oh, it's at a lower percentage than they normally would. It feels, I mean, I've been to Disneyland pre-pandemic. And it felt even more crowded.
That's why. See, I needed that. I needed that from someone that has been
I would say,
here
like, hold
much.
Off for a while.
To like
until
fall
you can
starts?
Go again.
Yeah, let's
I would say
semester.
I would say that.
Okay,
well, especially because it's a summer, so there's a lot of tourists out right now.
Yeah.
So wait till after the summer's over to go.
Okay, can we plan? Yeah, SAP, Ryzen,
we
right
have to
now.
Go because I still have to go to Rise of the Resistance. It's been behind me for a long time.
Let's talk, Carlos.
Whatever, yeah. Whatever
that
is.
I don't want to talk about it because you're going to spoil it. But
okay, Pika. Okay, look, we just scratched an itch that I've been wanting to know about the Disneyland. Disneyland.
And that's going to be our following Pika. See, we found our next Pika.
Yes. Okay, so Tony, what is this
Tony,
Pika?
Tony, what has been this thing? You texted us at like 3 in the morning, very concerned. You couldn't sleep. Yeah, let's just set the stage. Tony has been really mulling this over. Really killing you.
Yeah.
So just bring it up.
We all know. I'm the sports nut.
As we all know, Tony is.
Yeah.
Sports.
What are sports?
Like, what are sports? I don't even know, like, one sport.
Yeah. Like, I know water sports. I know, like, furry sports.
You not only dug the hole, but you jumped in, Tony. That is your fault.
This is your one per day.
That's
fault. That's exactly right. Yeah, it is my fault. I did that myself. No, the Olympics, as we record this, we don't know if the Olympics are actually going to happen, actually.
Yeah. I mean, technically, as per paper, it says it
as
is.
As per paper?
As per documentation and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm.
The paper trail?
The paper trail, because déjame decirte que coño, yo no sabía tampoco if it was going to be happening. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Yeah, so we don't know. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm not the sport nut. I'm not leading. I don't.
No, Tony, don't back out from it now.
Tony.
Coño, I have to Google
don't
this.
Bail on it.
I have to Google. What is Olympic sports?
No. There.
I know.
We're just concerned. We don't know when it, right? We're concerned.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it's also weirdly connected to a bunch of stuff that's been happening with the Olympics. Yeah. It's all...
Right.
There's always...
So the thing is, last year, the Olympic Games were supposed to happen in Tokyo 2020, which, interestingly, this is a nerd side note, in the movie Akira, the animated masterpiece Akira, they predicted the Olympic Games to be in 2020, and that was when this huge, like, nuclear bomb went off. So, like, it's very, for us nerds, like, we're like, oh, wow, they predicted the Tokyo Games. Anyway, so due to COVID, they had to cancel the Tokyo Olympic Games for 2020 and postpone them to 2021 in July. However, because of branding, they still decided to call it Olympics 2020. So that's why there's a little bit of confusion. Yeah. However, because there is currently a sort of COVID-19 scare happening right now in Tokyo, because of the Delta variant, a lot of Japanese people are really concerned about holding the Olympic Games there and would like to cancel it. But the Olympic Committee is trying to push forward and make the games happen because they were delayed for a year already. So
Duffy that they might, even if they do hold them, they're not going to have spectators
allowed.
That's
what I was going to say. Yeah. As of today, today's July 8th.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. But yeah, as of today, literally it came out that officially no spectators will be there, like, which is wild. Like, that's like, that's kind of like part of the fun of like it happening in your town, in your city, like figuring out a way to just get a ticket and go because you don't have to fly. You don't have to buy that big plane
ticket.
They're
just going to do the cardboard cutout stuff again they did with the NBA baseball? And
maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Really?
But also, last year I got on a, it's recorded. It's in my stories. I got a cardboard cutout of myself in a Texas Rangers game.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How was that?
That was fun because it's my friend Ray. You know Ray. Ray works for Texas Rangers. So
shout out to Ray.
Reynaldo
Casas in the house.
Casas,
He got me and Joey a cardboard cutout. He put it by the right field, and at some point somebody hit it, and you could see we're like,
And it hit your cardboard head.
Yeah,
it didn't, but it got pretty close.
So, did you get to keep it, or I mean, where are the whereabouts of this cardboard?
No, they threw it out because
Carlos.
They're allowing people in again.
Yeah.
You should have kept it.
Okay,
I should have, but it would have to mail it. But we're getting off topic.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. I'm like, this is all very interesting. But I do want to get into this Olympic because here's the thing, guys. There is so much going on. I'm just going to drop some quick things. One.
Knowledge?
No, like just things that I've been reading because I love, like me and my family, we always watch all the Olympics. I love sports. Everybody listens, knows this.
Wait, you
whatever.
Do?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, surprise, Tony. Keep the bit going.
Stop the railing, Tony. Stop the railing. Stop the railing.
And so one of the things that I want to bring up, I know we brought up another one that had to do with drug testing. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up before any of the spectators talk or whatever, a few weeks ago, I read this article. It was actually a couple weeks ago, maybe even just last week, of this woman who had a baby, made it to the Olympics, and they didn't want to let her take her baby to the Olympics because she has to breastfeed. She's breastfeeding. Right. So like they were like, oh no, just like pump it all out and like, you know, have like, you don't know how long you're going to be there when you're like, so what? Like, so pretty much they're making her have the choice of one, going to the Olympics without her baby. And I don't know what the fuck, you know, is going to happen to the leche.
What's
the
baby going
to
do? He's not going to be running around giving people COVID.
No, or three or two, just not go. And then she's like, imagine she's, I don't even think she's super like young or whatever
she's doing.
I don't know. I was trying to find it. I want to say it was something in swimming. I'm honestly not. Mm. I need to check it. I believe it was a white woman, but she's, I think, Afro, like Team USA maybe too or something. I don't know. I need to look it up and I'll find it. But point is like, since I didn't know we were doing this, because I didn't like pull it up, but I just like, I wanted to bring that up. Because
I emailed all of you at 3 a.m.
Yep. No. Yes.
Now look who's not checking emails.
That's fair. Right. That's fair. Roast me. One of the things that she said was, you know who actually I saw it? Kate Spencer, our fellow comedy friend that we all have. She posted it and that's how I saw it. That's how I found it from her IG story. So I looked at it really quick, you know, because sometimes when you're on a story, you fall into those holes or whatever. And one of the things that she says in the video that I was like, this makes so much sense. Like, you're not wrong. Like, all the people that, for example, all the like, Asian or Latino, like anybody that doesn't speak fluent English will have a translator with them. So she was like, why the fuck do they get a translator? And I can't have my baby who isn't going to do anything. Like she could fucking hire someone to just stay in the hotel with them.
So like, just to put it in there, I've been doing a little bit of, I contacted the Spanish IQ Presents research department.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And it is, it's a Canadian basketball player named Kim Goucher.
Thank you. Oh, I should have known she was basketball.
So,
close.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah.
So that is the person who can't have her kid with.
Yes.
With,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Oscar and research team. But yeah, so pretty much that's the tea on that.
There's a lot of negative stuff.
There's a lot, but there always is. That's the thing. Really? Like, there's always so many things that have to do with, because, you know, the Olympics is great. And back in the day, yeah, like it wasn't as like brand whole. Like it's literally all about money right now. Like it feels like it's all about money. And it's so annoying because also like women get always treated so much shittier than all the men, when yet like fucking the women especially are like always kill us. And this, I'm talking about US, but like USA, like fucking the women are so good. Like they're so good. Mm-hmm. And the men don't even qualify sometimes for US, and like they still get way more stuff than the women. But that's what happens in sports all the time. Like that's a whole other pica that I have opinions on. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know. I wanted to throw that one out to you. I know.
Also,
you know,
to add on to, again, my research department just got back some added information.
It's yours now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, it's not mine. It's Spanish. He's official research department.
He's in charge. He's in charge.
Jordan Duffy and producer Jordan Duffy reached out to let us know that U.S. marathoner Alafine Tuliamuk also has a similar situation.
Wow. Mm. Well, how do you guys feel about that?
She has a kid?
How do you feel about this? Like, yes. This was your sister. This was your mom. This was your wife.
Like, doesn't feel logical.
I get what you're saying. I can just, like, I sympathize with them as just people who have, right?
Well, yeah, sure.
No, but I know what you're saying. Sometimes people have to do that leap. Like, oh, I have to imagine it's someone close to me, right? But I wonder who is the commission or who runs the Olympics. I'm sure it's like several nations, right? Which I would imagine are like run conservative. So they don't, I imagine, I'm putting this out there. I don't know. Yeah. Are they just misogynist, conservative?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It's just so wild.
I just don't understand the logic. And that sucks because, like, when this is also something that's been running up against the Olympic Committee is, like, decisions that are being made that are not necessarily logical, whether because they're dated, like the marijuana thing.
Yeah, let's bring that one.
Because of the COVID restriction stuff. It's just a lot of that stuff doesn't make any sense. And maybe it's, like, a thing where it's, like, the Olympics are like getting the same kind of treatment as like award shows are getting, where now it's all kind of going down. Mm-hmm. Like it's not the same prestige. It's not the same whatever. And it's maybe situations like COVID and the pandemic really just lifted a veil made out of veal. And
ew.
Ew, right.
It's Lady Gaga's new dress or something.
Yeah, for sure. Her opening ceremony veil. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that there's got to be some kind of connection.
Yeah. I think when it comes to, and you know, I'm going to take this opportunity to bring up the other big Olympic thing about Sha'Carri Richardson being banned from the Olympics for a month because they found weed in her system after receiving the news that her parent passed before she ran. I think the Olympics are incredibly paranoid about like anything affecting your body, because when it comes to athletes, it's like, oh, your body's your temple, et cetera, et cetera. And when it comes to like with the weed thing and then like also giving breast milk to a child, like this might affect your body chemistry. This might like change the way that you perform as an athlete, which is so wild to me. If anything, I don't know, but I've never smoked, but I'm sure weed does not make you faster.
It doesn't. I can tell you, it doesn't.
If it's laced with something else.
And I'm sure breastfeeding doesn't make you a better basketball player or a better runner. Like,
no,
if anything,
her tetas are going to be hurting when she's fucking running and they're fucking, you know, they're chasing her poor nipples are like chasing on a sports bra. No, but that's real. Like, I need people
when
to,
they're,
like,
because it's basketball, this. So it would be.
Yeah, like, it's very physical.
She's getting checked.
It's not like she's in like una piscina swimming by herself in a nice, refreshing situation. Like, now that we know she's about,
this is a good example of like, what would be like, let's play that game of like, what would be an actual reason? Like, let's put ourselves in their space. Is it because of keeping the baby safe? Is it because of
they don't give
some
a fuck
kind
about
of enhancement? Like, or there really is no logic.
There's no logic. It's just, it's one of those, you know, there's no exceptions to the rules, but there is. There is exceptions to rules. There always is. No matter what, there's a way to find a fucking exception to almost every rule, like in like a situation like this. And it sucks because, again, as a woman, I see these stories so much. I follow a lot of like female sports pages, and they post a lot about all the discrimination and stuff that happens to female athletes. And it's so fucking annoying to like, honestly, like be like, damn, this is like what I wanted to do when I grew up. I really wanted to be like a basketball player, like in the NBA or whatever, WNBA, when that started after. And I'm just like, all the shit that these women go through, like that could have been me if I like went down that path.
Well, I mean, there is a logical step for me anyway. There is a logical thread that I'm seeing through all of this. And that is the blatant sexism and racism that happens in the Olympic Games. I mean, something that we haven't talked about is that in this year, the swim caps for African Americans have been banned because
they're
of their
black.
Size. And
they were from they were also from a black owned company. Like, they wanted it to be from a specific company. Did you read that too?
Yeah.
Cause that was even more where I was like, okay, whatever.
Wait, the elastic?
Bro, the brand of the fucking hair. Sorry, what do you call them? Swim caps, right?
Yeah.
You said? Okay, that. They were, sorry. I'm like, just to like, I don't want to cut you off, but like, I was like, that was the other thing that I was like, cherry on top, like, oh, also it's black owned. Like, you guys are, what the fuck? Like, I don't know.
I'm sorry, Oscar, what are they saying? That you can't wear them anymore when you compete?
Yeah, that they're not like the official or regulation size caps, but black hair is very different than white hair. We all know this. So they need a different kind of swim cap. So to not validate that specific kind of swim cap made by black people for black people, it does send a message, intentional or not, that black people are treated differently.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the wrestling kid that got to shave his head.
I mean, listen, and this is something that's very, very familiar to the Latinx experience. Yeah. It's gatekeeping all over again, you know? Yeah. It's essentially saying, like, if you don't fit this norm, and by the norm we mean, like, the white sort of cis. Because, again, I'm not even going to get started on the whole trans people not being able to play sports argument.
Oh, yeah.
But it is like the white, if you're not part of this cis white homogeny in the Olympic Games, then you're not qualified to compete with us, you know?
Yeah.
But historically speaking, African-Americans, blacks from all over the world have won and broken records in
so
the Olympic
many.
Games, you know?
And it's you're so fucking right. Yes, you're so right. Like, black and African Americans fucking are always killing it. And it's like, oh, so let's find another fucking reason to be fucking racist. Oh, your swim caps. Like, that's how I read it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Also, I just wanted to give a shout out to the people, the IG, that I always get the women's sports info from. They're called Friends of the Court. And on their bio, it says dedicated to developments in women's sports law. Because it's something that had to be created because of all the fucking discrimination of females in general. Mm. And
like
they post a
law,
lot of,
like a law firm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't think they're a law firm, but like they post a lot about like BIPOC talent, trans, like women of color, like an athlete as well, but just all women. So I don't know. I think it's a really cool, it's a little IG. They barely have 1400 followers, but like, I love it. I get so informed like so much. But I wanted to go back to the drug testing because I think that's what inspired this pica, yes?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, so, yeah, it was on its way to all these things that were happening, all these things that are negatively coming out of the Olympic situation. Yeah.
So the world has very, very much been defending her. And it's crazy to me, too, because like I've seen those made up Twitter post where it's like Phelps and Lachie and all right, and they're like, I was high when I have you seen those, which like obviously they weren't, but like they for sure smoked.
Isn't that what happened with Phelps at some point? They found, but it was after competition, and then
it was after. It's like, dude, let people smoke weed. What is the deal? Like, I'm so annoyed. Like, it's just like such a stupid, like, I'm not gonna go smoke and do CrossFit. Why would I do that? I'm not gonna want to lift, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's trying to smoke as they do an Olympic like race or try anything. Like, they want to win. Why would they want to be slower?
Competition is in munchies. It's not how much you can eat,
but
or
I think
how
also,
many naps you can take.
Yeah, I mean, I think like we come from a very sort of liberal headspace too when it comes to drug use. You know, we are from we live in California. It's legal here. You know, a lot of people, and like, listen, the Olympic Committee is not made up of 20 or 30 somethings. You know what I mean? They're made up of people who were born and raised during a time where weed made you go crazy and kill someone. You know what I mean? So
these people have reefer madness.
Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly. Reefer madness, paranoia. So they were, and again, it's a drug to them. To them, weed is still a performance enhancement. And I use heavy quotations when I say enhancement drug, but it's still a drug. It affects the body in a specific way. These people are unlearned. They're not reading up. They're not learning up. And they don't want to, right? Because these are people who have been on the helm for aeons who are unwilling to change the old guard. And that, I think, is a microcosm of a larger picture, which is these people, these damn dinosaurs in power are, you know, unwilling to relent power or even to learn or adapt to change.
I think that's also gatekeeping. I mean, that's why 100%. We still have a problem with weed nationally, why some people are in jail right now and they have and some people are profiting and they're making news profiles of how successful people, like, that's a slap in the face of people that are currently in the prison system because of the same thing you're doing. But oh, good for those people because look at them profiting. So I think it's a form of it's on purpose. Obviously, there's no logic. I think that's the conclusion that I'm.
It's unfortunate because, you know, the Olympics is a beautiful time for especially like Black and brown people and just like, you know, people that are not cis white and are fucking athletes that have like, you know, started from the bottom or maybe not, like, what, you know what I mean? Like, this is like ultimate goals for these athletes. Like, yeah, I'm in the NBA, but wait, I get to play. I mean, it's hard right now, the NBA right now, because of playoffs and stuff. Like, and then a lot of the players, also the basketball players, for example, they go and they play for like Spain if they're Spaniard, whatever descent. And
you have the choice.
Yeah, which is cool, right? But like, I look at someone like Sha'Carri and I was like, I didn't know really who she was until like we started the Olympic stuff, trials and all of that. And I was like, this fucking woman is so fucking fast, and she has the longest nails. This, like, you know, this hair.
She has so much drag with the hair and the nails, and she's still beating everybody.
Like, she's like
drag.
No, like the,
like wind, like drag.
I know.
Yeah, and then like, and like, you know, like all the endorsements that she could be getting, like all these endorsements that she could be getting, and she's now losing because of like this stupid thing.
Also, you know, listen, let's be real. The fucking Olympics happen every 4 years. It's not like, oh, you're not, you're banned. Oh, you could do it next week. It's four years. A person's body changes in 4 years. You are at your peak physical condition maybe once or twice every Olympics. You know, there is a thing as aging out of the Olympics. You
100%. Know? So, way quicker than the other stuff.
Yeah, for people like Sha'Carri, it is like, rarely do you get the chance to be on this such a huge platform as the Olympics, and to get it again, that requires so much time, so much training, so much what? Money?
Yeah,
that's especially for disenfranchised people, like that is tough, you know? So to have that taken away from Sha'Carri is just like, I mean, you know, singing to the choir here, but like, it's unfair. It's completely unfair. But I think bigger things need to change for there to be any sort of subtle change in the Olympic Games, you know?
Yeah. Well, just make it a monetary thing instead of a, you know?
That's what I think. Just find
her. What do you mean?
Like, find
somebody.
Find her. Or like, okay, Sha'Carri, you smoked, whatever. Again, like, also, like, she shouldn't even have to, one, like, she should not have to fucking, like, explain to the world why she smoked. I don't give a fuck why she smoked. Girl, you fucking are the fastest woman in the fucking world right now. And you, like, want to smoke? You want to get home and take a fucking bubble bath and smoke a fucking big ass blunt with your fucking long nails? Go ahead, girl. Get it. Because you deserve it. Again, you are the fastest woman in the world. Like, and even if you weren't, I don't care. Still go ahead and do it. Like, you don't have to explain, like, your trauma, because we know, we saw what happened with, you know, we read it, like, but that shouldn't be the reason that she has to, like, tell people. That's a whole other thing, too. Like, I feel like everybody's always, like, having to, like, explain, like, these moms have to explain why they have to breastfeed. These people have, you know, like, these people have to explain why they smoked weed or why whatever, they need a translator or whatever it is. Like, it's like, just like,
and then what really kind of bugs me is people are like, well, rules are rules and she shouldn't be doing it, plain and simple. Those are the same people, like, those are the same people that when it happens to them, they justify whatever their actions are.
Yeah,
it's so easy to be like, well, rules are rules and that's it, black and white. Is it though, when it comes to you, like all these people, especially like in power, that are always making rules for people, when it applies to them, suddenly it's not. We've seen historically that that's what happens with politicians, with people in charge. So it's also like, bro, seriously, that's what you, that's if that's the only like argument you have, rules are rules. That just tells you, more about you than about the actual situation.
That's true. And just to add on to the whole the profiling that seems to be happening here, it is a like really inconvenient to me to believe that people like Sha'Carri are being found out about their drug use right before the big Olympic game.
Yeah.
And then people like Ryan Lochte or...
it's just after. Weird,
after.
Right?
Huh. And then, you know what I mean? And then you have someone like Lance Armstrong just like straight up juicing up for years and years.
And
then,
not... And by the way, sorry, not at all one bit apologetic for it, because if you watched his documentary, they ask him, and it's the most cringe moment between him and the director and producer that ask him this question, and he's like, no. And it's like, he was juicing for real, right? Well, like,
it was technical, because wasn't it just fresh blood with more oxygen in his system? It wasn't like steroids.
Oh my God, he's like a vampire.
Carlos.
Yeah, so no, but I'm listening for him. I'm not advocating. Guys, calm down. I'm just saying, in his mind,
did
he really feel? I don't think in his mind he really felt like there was a thing.
Because these white men.
But also, he was allowed. It's his blood.
Yeah, but also, like, you get to this point that you think you're fucking untouchable. That's the thing.
Sure. Well, he won how many times? 7 times? 8 times? 9 times?
Fucking 100 times. Up.
And then, I think his argument was like, look what I did for the sport, and this is how you guys repay me.
Wow. Sir, we all had a Live Strong bracelet, sir. We all wore them to play, and we were like,
Berlant.
Yeah, so I did not.
Speaking of juicing.
Wait. Before we end it, I do want to end it on a quick positive note.
Okay.
Is there anything, because again, I still fucking love the Olympics, and if it does happen, is there any sport that you enjoy watching that you're looking forward to? If it does happen, gymnastics, Simone Biles, like Lori Hernandez, like, you know, we've got these really cool, like, women and men doing.
Track and field and gymnastics, I think, are the ones that I always end up going back to. Yeah. I just watched the trials when I was with my family a couple weeks ago, vacation. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
That's my mom, literally. That's my mom.
Gloria!
No, that's, it was fun. It was like, I think I forgot that I we used to it. Do that when I was little. Yeah. We used to watch all like the track and field. Because in Same. Puerto Rico, we follow that stuff. And Same. There's a lot of, there's a huge track and field culture in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Anybody else? Do you guys, is there, I mean, again, and if you don't want, I don't care if you don't, it won't offend me if you guys don't watch it or like
Ping
it.
Pong.
Carlos Ping- mentioned it earlier. Drag.
What? Drag. Okay. Okay.
Oscar? Gymnastics. It looks like it's like dancing and acrobatic.
The twirling.
The twirling, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm not a Summer Olympics person. I will say I'm a big fan of the Winter Olympics.
Okay.
Very excited
for the fashion, honey.
I mean,
the winter fashion.
Oscar, I'm just going to tell you, tune in to some of the Team USA gymnastics. I promise you will not be disappointed.
Is like, figure skating only in the Winter Olympics?
Yeah. Well, they do. They have the, I think they have the roller fast, whatever. I actually also would give a shout out to, there is a Cubanito from Miami that has gone for two different sports. He will be going for baseball. And I played baseball with him, Eddie Alvarez.
Okay.
Yeah. I was watching, my boyfriend was watching like the like baseball team like do the trials a couple weeks ago. And they had Eddie Alvarez. Like, I was like, oh my God, I know him. I used to play baseball when I was like little. He would probably have no fucking idea who I was until if I saw him and I was like, hey, remember me? I'm the girl, like the only girl that played baseball on the team with you. Oh boy. Anyways.
Well, next at bat.
Honestly, yeah, seriously. Honestly, the only reason why I like the Winter Olympics is because of Cool Runnings.
Cool.
Oh, okay. You just rewatch Cool Runnings. That's it.
Okay. So back to juicing. Sorry.
To the Olympic sport of coffee drinking.
Yeah.
Yes. Slurp. Slurpity slurp.
Slurpity
okay.
slurp.
Tony up. Just took a huge bomb yes. rip.
Yeah,
he and hit while from the- he's oh, totally wow, high. Man. Let's take a cafecito break right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's coffee bomb. I'm gonna balance out.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Slurp, slurp, slurp me, gente. We are back with our guest today. You know him. You love him from Superstore, Key and Peele, Mad TV. Excuse me. He's got a couple Emmy nominations to his name. Please welcome Colton Dunn.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. We love an Finally. Emmy nom drop. Yes. In the mm-hmm. intro. Love that. Real fancy.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Colton?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We out here in the summer. Good. We're doing the summer thing.
No, yeah, it's hot. The summer life, man.
It's so hot.
Colton, are you currently in LA at this moment? Or
I am, man. I am in Glendale, California, on the side of a mountain, and it is hot.
Yeah.
It's good. This is gonna sound creepy, but I actually know where you live because you live from.
Okay.
You live by one of my best.
Exactly.
I know, how you thought it but because you live by one of my besties, Kayla.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I live across the street from Kayla.
Yeah, we have Kayla on the podcast, so they know Kayla.
I told them about that place because Kayla's husband is my old roommate. I lived with him for a little under 10 years.
Yeah.
And I saw the house across the street from me going up for rent. And so I texted him to see if they'd like to do it, and it worked out. So,
it's so
now I live across the street from my old roommate.
But that's so cool. Like, I love that, too, because, like, you know, you guys both have like a family and it's so nice to like have like a friend in your family. You know, it's like you see it on TV. Sometimes you're like, that doesn't happen. Families don't like friends don't live across. And it's like, oh, no, this like when she saw when that happened, I was like, that's really cool. Like, it's one of those things you do see like in like TV show. So, OK, Superstore. I really want to get into Superstore. Big fan.
Yeah.
I love.
Me too.
I mean, like, I. I mean, I loved it from the beginning. One, because yeah, it's funny and it was something different that I didn't know what I was going to get into watching it. Two, it's so beautifully diverse without trying to throw it in your face, which sometimes happens. I guess I kind of wanted to talk about like, how was that beginning process when you first like went in, you were auditioning, like, how did you feel like about this character? And, you know, as it just grew into such beautiful character development in every season.
Yeah. You know, I mean, unfortunately I'm probably not the best actor to talk about that kind of stuff. Cause I was just stoked to make some money.
Yeah, sure. Fair. Aren't we all?
That's a given. That's a given.
Aren't we all? You know,
that's very refreshing, honestly.
What drew you to work in this project?
Money's cash.
Mortgage payment.
He's like, the craft. He's like, no, I needed to pay rent.
But you know what, though? Pretty quickly, what was great about it is that early on, like, you know, America Ferrera was like, we're all going out to dinner, you know? And she, like, made a reservation at this sushi place. So we all went out to dinner there. And sort of after that, we all just kept going out after dinner and, you know, the cast stayed really tight, which was really cool and different than, you know, what things are usually like, because like I said, I was, you know, I was there to get paid. So, you know, usually you don't show up and plan on like making like a bunch of friends and stuff like that, you know, at anything. But this was, you know, definitely a different experience. And you felt that kind of from the very beginning, you know, and, you know, whether or not that translated, you know, on screen, I think it had to have, because, you know, a lot of the compliments that I get about the show are that it just felt like, you know, you guys were all friends and that these were people who like all genuinely liked each other and worked together. And it had that vibe from the beginning. So, yeah, energy was there. I just didn't tune into it because I was steady counting those bills, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. that's getting in the way.
Yeah. That is true, though. That's interesting you say it, though, because I do think you guys have that vibe on set. At least, like, not on set, but, like, on, like, screen watching it. Like, there is some playfulness where I'm, like, I love to watch a show, too, where there's, like, legit comedians that, like, I know I've seen on stage do improv. And then, like, watch them on TV and be, like, oh, my God, I wonder if Colton improv that. Or, like, you know what I mean? Because it's, like, because it does feel so fresh and relaxing, like, watching it.
Is there a lot of room for improvisational improv in that show?
For sure. You know? Yeah. I think for sure there's a lot of room for improvisation. You know, what I kind of have found in most of the work that I do is that there's always room for improvisation if you just do it. As soon as you stop and ask if you could do it, then there's no room for improvisation. But if you just do it, there's always room.
If you get a good reaction, you can't argue against it.
That's the thing, though. Some people, if you do it and it doesn't work, then you go, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yo, that shit is terrifying. I'm the one that... I feel like I always want to ask because I'm like, I feel like I'm still so new sometimes on set.
The difficulty level goes way up once you ask.
Because they're expecting something.
It's really, like, if you just try something and it doesn't work, and they're like, what was that? And you're like, I was just trying something. And they're like, oh, okay, well, don't do that again. And you're like, all right, cool.
You can always say,
but if you like have to do it, and then you're like, I did it. They're like, why'd you even, you thought about that? You know, like, that's a life lesson for all you actors.
Okay.
You want to improvise, you want to do a fun take, just do it. Don't ask.
Okay, next time I'm going to do it. And if I fuck up.
Write this down.
Yeah, if I fuck up, I'm going to say, well, Colton Dunn told me to.
Colton told me.
He told me to just do it. I'm like, Colton Dunn told me, and he's my coach, and he told me today I got to throw it out there.
You're bumped to series regular now. We didn't know
great.
That. We didn't
great.
Know that.
Oh, wow. You got the Colton bump.
Best
guess. I want to ask about when you moved to New York, your first comedy job, were you working at Conan?
O'Brien's
show?
I never worked there like as a writer, but like, you know, at UCB at that time, there was a lot of like day player things, you know, Conan was on every night and, you know, and they have some of that out here, you know, like on Kimmel, they'll do like bits and stuff and we'll be like, oh, you know, cool. You know, Betsy Sodaro is going to be on this thing, you know, this bit tonight. You know, but it was like back then at UCB, like that was like every night they would have like two or three people from the theater on, you know? And so it was almost, you know, as if that was like that was like after a Herald team in like what you were trying to do. Oh. Like if you would do stuff at UCB and then you, you know, hope that, you know, the casting people from Conan, you know, have to come to one of the shows and then maybe you get a call to like, you know, do something. And so that was the first thing that I did was on Conan was this boy band called Dudes of Plenty, written by this guy named Andy Blitz. And it was like during the like making the band, that reality show. And so Conan was going to make his own boy band. And I was one of the members of the boy band.
Now, every boy band has a type. What type were you in that band?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I had like, well, my he named me Samantha.
Samantha?
Yeah, he renamed everybody and my name was Samantha.
Oh, like the Sex and the City girls. It's New York. I get it.
Yeah, maybe that
you
was
you were
it.
The
I'm
Samantha.
Not sure. And I had a tank top on. You know, I don't know. You know, this is kind of the earlier days of these sort of boy band making the band thing. So everybody was kind of the same type. We did have one guy who was clearly a bad boy, though.
Right.
Oh.
He had a criminal rap. Yeah.
Yeah. Criminal record.
Follow up to that. If you were on a boy band, what would your type be?
If I was a boy, I'd want to be the guy who like talks, you know, in the song.
Yes.
It's like, hey, we're
got to
remember what these guys are saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I agree. We all agree. Me and these guys are friends and we all love you, girl. Here, take a listen to another thing this guy has to say. Like that's what I want to do.
And you never get to the song. You're just talking.
Hey, what's up? This song's gonna be great. You're gonna love it.
Yeah. He does the transitions. It's like the transitions in this.
It's top of the chorus.
All right. Well, you heard what he had to say. Now let's hear what this one has to say.
Yeah, you didn't see that coming.
Oh, you're just the guy in the boy band that's like, okay, now it's your turn. You're the strategist.
Okay, Dale, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he sounds business, but he doesn't know it either.
Right.
I love it. Pues, okay, so one of the things that I was thinking about, you know, when we were talking about interviewing you is, okay, at UCB, doing comedy, not even just at UCB, doing comedy, especially like even us, like as POC, any BIPOC talent, watching people like do it. I didn't really get to see a lot of people that looked like me, that sounded like me. And, you know, you're from a different generation of like the like comedians and improvisers and sketch performers as well. And like, I want to know, like, were there people when you were watching shows that you saw on stage that like inspired you to want to start doing comedy that like you were like, oh, like he's kind of like me? Cause like, I don't know, like, I feel like sometimes I do ask this question and like, it might be like a black improviser. And she's like, no, like I never saw a female. I saw like a guy that was black, but I didn't see like a female. You know what I mean? So like, who were these people that you were watching?
Jerry Minor, Horatio Sanz, you know, these are guys who like I saw very early on in Chicago. I went and saw a Second City show with my aunt. She took me to see a show. And they were both in a show at Second City. It's interesting with comedy. It does a lot of times at least for me, it was really about like taste and type of comedy. Mm-hmm. As opposed to whether or not somebody really looked like me, I'm mixed. So it's not like, you know, I couldn't necessarily just be like, oh, there was a black guy in there. Well, you know, the black guy doesn't necessarily look exactly like me. Okay. Seeing people of color was always exciting to me and to see what they did. The reason I say Jerry and Horatio is because their style of comedy, you know, really resonated with me. But also Ian Roberts, you know, like there was like sort of this people who you didn't expect to be at an improv theater, kind of way of improvising where it was like that, you know, like you're almost like, they're not doing it right. That guy, I shouldn't be here. And I love that. I love that, that vibe. Amy Poehler was a big one that I just like, the like she was, and for me, for her, it was like she's like so tiny and like little. Mm-hmm. And she would just come out and just command, like take like the highest status in a scene possible, you know, like fucking murder, like stab people in the throat, like do like brutal murders in scenes. We're like, what the, you know? So, I mean, you know, I think for me, it was, you know, there's definitely, you know, growing up, I think we all have that experience of being like, I don't really see too many people like me, you know, but, you know, it's also like, you know, then you start seeing the people who do look like you and that's cool. But then when you start seeing the people who kind of like are doing the kind of comedy that's resonating with you and sort of their style. And sometimes that could be people who look like you just because culturally you might have the same thing. But also, some, I think it's also, for me, it was like people who wanted to do improv but didn't want to do, you know, sort of kind of the sort of goofy improv or more theatrical, you know, type improv. You know, I really just wanted to do like the funny, you know, silly shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get started in comedy? Is that something that you were always interested in, or was something that you discovered down the road?
I was always, you like this because this connected to that first question you asked me. I got really into performing. I did my mom took me to an audition when I was a child to like this youth theater in St. Paul, Minnesota, where I'm from. And she kind of took me to the audition because I was always like goofing off and like during the basketball games, like I'd get the ball and like dance around with it and like be silly with it. And everyone's like, dude, what are you doing? You know, like, so she was like, maybe he'll like doing, you know, acting stuff. And so she took me to this audition and I got this part in this show called Aesop's Fables, a Musical Circus. And immediately it started rehearsing. And so there was like 3 days a week that I would leave school and take a bus to downtown St. Paul to rehearse for this thing. And I was like a kid. And that was it. I was like, I can leave school.
I was like, alone.
I'm just doing this.
I'm like, I love that you're doing this. Yeah.
And so... that was kind of it. And then as it drifted into comedy was when in, you know, in high school, and again, this has a basketball tie-in, I was playing basketball for the high school team, but then this thing called Comedy Sports came to the high school league. It's a short form comedy show. And I went to high school with Nick Swartzen. And so we were buddies then. And he was like, oh, we should do this thing called Comedy Sports. And so we went to check it out. And we're like, oh, that's really fun. I want to do it. But it rehearsed the same time as basketball practice was. And so I quit the team. It was like, I'm going to do comedy sports. And it was sort of like that kind of like big choice, you know, like when you're a kid, it's like you start committing to something, you just keep doubling down on it. And so it was like, you know, that was it. You know, I'd already committed that I was going to get out of school early to perform. And then I quit basketball to make sure I did comedy and had to commit to the rest of his
That's funny. I'm like, I relate to the basketball and like, well, for me, we didn't have comedy sport or anything like that. We had theater in my high school and it was like, I like would only get the one-liners if I like was in the play because they're like, well, you're the captain of the basketball team, so you can't be here. And I'm like, fine.
That sounds a little bitter on their part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we need to work this out. Like,
they wanted to be on the basketball team. Yeah.
They're like, bring those sweet threes over here. Fine. Do you still ball out here? Do you like scrimmage and stuff?
So dance around with the ball.
Still ball.
Do you ball?
Still hoop. No, I mean, I'll go shoot around. I probably would not. I mean, maybe I play like a half court game, but you know, I got kids and I'm older and I got like shit I have to do. So like, I can't roll my ankle and, you know, not be able to walk for like 3 days. Like that's just not a thing that is available for me. So, I would love to ball, but, jumping up, you know, as high as I can with another guy who's also not a professional athlete jumping and trying to jump as high as they can. That's just a dangerous mix.
Oh, it is. Trust from experience. I can agree.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. What is a sweet three?
Yeah.
A sweet three is a 3-point shot. It's just like sweet.
So yeah. Okay.
It's just like, you know, it's like nothing but.
Do you play in that comedy league down here?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
What was your team?
I was, I'm with the Lucille Ballers.
Okay. Yeah. I coached a team for a little bit.
I think, yeah, I was like, I feel like I remember you coaching a team once as well. Yeah. Like when I first started was like when like Fran and Darcy and Marcy, like a lot of people were on it in the beginning, but then I think it just was too crazy.
It got real, dude. It got intense. I came in and coached at the beginning, and then I came and coached like a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And there was like these girls with like tattoos and shit all up on their arms and like full body sleeves and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who the fuck are this is not an improv group. And
they were like Kobe
fadeaways and like all this stuff. We're like, what happened here?
Like the amount of times that I had to be like I was like, I don't know, I have an audition or a shoot or whatever, something. And like, so the games are on Tuesdays and they would like be super rough sometimes. And I'm like, listen, like I'd be like, I go up to the ref. I'm like, look, this face, this is how I make my money. This right here. So I need you to call the fouls. I know it's women's basketball and you're not like trying to be super hardcore NBA referees here. I get it. But like, just watch my face and everybody else's faces, like, please. And he was like, okay. Like they could not stand us at all. Like the actors for sure. But yeah, it's definitely more intense. Yeah,
nobody likes this. When you go like, hey, this is how I make my money. Yeah. Nobody, it'll never work in a conversation never. To get that person on your side.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
They'll always be like, did they really just say
that?
Yeah. I'm like, how am I supposed to go in and sell this McDonald's?
This is the money
fries?
Maker right here.
Well, I'm all like sweaty and my hair's all up. He's like, okay. He's like, you're not selling shit, bitch. Like, not with that right there. Oh my gosh. Okay. Enough about me. Back to Colton.
So Colton, you started doing comedy sports. You doubled down. And at some point, you moved to New York to start with UCB. How was that transition?
It was fun. You know, I moved when I was pretty young. It was just a couple of years after high school.
Wow.
So,
and by that point, you already knew comedy all the way.
Well, yeah, I took a trip to New York, and that's where I first saw the UCB. So I took a trip out there for a week, and then I went home back to Minnesota, and I was working with like doing some improv there, but I kept thinking like, oh man, there's so many funny people out there. And so I started college, but then I dropped out almost immediately and moved to New York. And then that was it. I worked at video stores and tried to do.
Whoa, which video stores did you work at?
I worked at Kim's Video.
Yeah, Kim's.
Oh my God.
Gosh, Kim's.
I heard of Kim's and I don't know it, but yeah.
Which Kim's did you work at?
I worked at Kim's West, which was in the West Village.
Okay. Wow.
Not the main Mondo Kim's, which is the one that everybody, I think, thinks about when they do Kim's, but ours was pretty crazy too. So I worked there and I worked at TLA Video, which was like another video store that was like kind of.
And see the pattern, yes.
Yeah, Two Boots Video, which was like, that's a big thing in the, you know, this is the late 90s. You got to
sure.
Think. Yeah. So,
yeah, this is
access to rentals is important.
Rentals and like the independent movie scene and bootlegs and all that stuff.
Was Clerks, like, that vibe.
Clerks. It was a hot time to work at a video store, man. I was actually in a video store in the office eating my sandwich before I was about to start work when the manager of the store, a head manager, was reading an article about Netflix and talking about how it was never going to work. How she's like, this is the dumbest thing. And people all, you know, nobody, you know, because And she, her points all made sense. She's like, everybody who comes in here never knows what they want to watch. They don't have any idea. So how are they going to figure it out on, you know, just looking at the internet? They always have to ask us, you know, what the movies
are. Little did they know. Algorithms.
Little did they know. Algorithms, baby.
Damn, that's
exactly
algorithms.
What you want to watch. Oh, another UFO documentary?
Yes.
Oh,
there you go.
We know you well. Watch more.
We all, like, just were like, yeah, no, that's real. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Sex and City, you'll love this UFO documentary.
Yeah.
What were and your areas of expertise? Go ahead. I want to know, like, if someone came in and wanted to know, I don't know, like animation, or like, did everyone in the store have different, like,
powers,
fan bases,
majors?
majors.
Yeah. You know, folks, there would be, yeah, people who like knew a little bit more about certain things. I guess mine would be more like probably like sci-fi. Mm-hmm. You know, sci-fi fantasy stuff. I knew a lot about those movies. You know, quite a bit back then, at least, of like the independent films that had come out, you know, things that were, you know, like that. And then I was in charge for an extra 75 cents an hour. I was in charge of the straight porn section.
For both
GLA.
Wait.
Only straight. Yeah, I know.
Only straight?
It was two different
positions. They had a straight porn manager and the gay porn manager.
No.
Were they separated or were they in the same beat it where you go through
they
beats?
Were the same, okay. They were the same. They were the same. They were behind the same door. It wasn't like okay. they were like, it wasn't like that kind of, you know, and I don't, you know, I don't know why they did that. I mean, you know, I do know why they did that. They probably did that because they knew that the straight guys would really want to go into the straight porn section. And, you know, I think that's probably what they did. They got,
they didn't want one manager to know all of it. They needed to make sure.
They needed to find somebody who was a little more open-minded and would just be enjoying no matter where they were, just living life, you know?
That is so wild. Wow. I had never heard of that.
Yeah, and then here's another fun story is TLA Video, this place that I work, I don't know if this won't get anybody in trouble, but they were in Philadelphia. And we had this, you know, we had like a huge, you know, porn section. And obviously this was like in West Hollywood. So we had a pretty substantial gay porn section. I believe at the time it was illegal to ship gay porn from one state to another state. So our manager would have to drive down to Philadelphia, pick up her supply of gay porn, and then drive back. And it was like this very, like very short Japanese woman who would just fill up her entire car with gay porn and just be driving back from Philly.
Imagine getting stopped by a cop and it's like, they want to check your, and that's all that just
and
like
she's just
out.
Like, this is how I roll, dude.
That feels like the beginning of an indie movie in the 90s.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It does.
How wild is that? It was unreal. It's illegal to ship gay porn across state lines. What is that? Who does that protect?
The TSA? No, that wasn't around. Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, there's a Netflix documentary. Sorry, to bring up Netflix about Circus of Books. I think it was called, and they had a gay, and it was run by a straight couple, and they go into it in the documentary about how they like made money this way, but they had to find people that would transport gay porn across state lines.
Wow.
Incredible.
Holy.
I'm picturing that woman that was reading an article about Netflix at your store, like reading about porn going all on the internet. Like, that'll never work.
What did she have? Did she have anything about porn? No. I mean, I think that one, I think they were actually, if I remember, people were excited about that aspect. Mm-hmm. Even though it was good revenue, it was also, it was a hassle to keep up those straight porn sections and the gay porn section because you would walk past into them and like people would go in with like box cutters and like cut pictures off of them. Like,
whoa.
Because you have the boxes there.
Yeah.
You know,
so people were so horny that they would box cut the outline of
so they can have it in their pocket. They could go to the bathroom. They could excuse themselves.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yes, dude, the internet wasn't as fast back then.
I know, I know, I forget. I remember.
It used to take so long.
So long, just for a picture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, nah, box cutters it is for me.
Everybody's just, I gotta get the box cutters.
I guess people will find a way, man. Like, horniness knows no bounds, you know? Holy crap.
Oh, do you remember those box cutter days? Sure do.
I use scissors in magazines. I don't know what you're talking about boxing. Or just hurt.
We weren't talking about stuff we did.
Yeah, Tony.
Thank you for sharing, Tony.
Tony has just been giving us
Tony
so much information.
Tony always, every episode, likes to share something. That we
I mean, every
never going collaging at
There's
your
There's a Tony file on the internet.
I mean, look, it's getting fuller and fuller. Does he have a porn horny like vision board? Yes. And their magazine cutout. It's fine.
Porn horny vision board.
It gets more than my career horny vision board. I get more add-ons.
Carlitos, I know you want you.
I just wanted to because I know we got to wrap it up, but I want to give you props because I think you're a fantastic writer. Everything that I see I do, I have so much, and this is, you know, my personal take. Like I respect. Your style is amazing, but I wanted to ask you too. At some point during that transition, at what point did you say, "Hey, let me take a stab at it"? And did you just go for it? Or did you try to learn, or what was the process for you to start writing your own stuff, or to write in general?
this would be a funny answer for you.
Is it so about box cutters? Okay.
No. I was very into performing, pretty much thought that that's what all I was going to do, as far as comedy went. And I was working with this theater company in Amsterdam called Boom Chicago.
Boom Chicago, man.
Yeah.
And we did a show in Singapore. And before the show, the night before the show, one of the cooks at Boom Chicago was like, "Hey, guys, I have a bottle of liquid acid. What? This is liquid acid, and I'm going to take some and go watch the Flaming Lips concert." So the Flaming Lips were playing close by. And we were like, "Oh, that's great, but, you know, we have to go to... I got to get up early in the morning and fly to Singapore." And he's like, "Oh man, that sucks." I'm like, "'Cause this acid's so great." and my roommate, who's also going with me, was going on the show, 'cause he was the technical director at the time for the show. And, he was like, "Well, why don't we put some of the acid on our business cards?" So we put a bunch of acid on business cards and put them in our wallets. And then we flew to Singapore. And by the way, this was something we could have been put to death for if we would have been found out, because Singapore,
especially
very strict.
In Singapore.
Singapore is very strict. So this was very dumb. And anybody listening to this, I highly recommend not doing this.
Yeah.
Was the plan then to eat the business
card? Oh, then we ate the... So then I ate the business card once I got to Singapore.
Oh my God.
You know, and was like, "All right, let's trip out here at this crazy hotel." And during my trip, I was like, "Man, I gotta write, man. I just gotta write more, you know, like writing would be great." And I wrote a sketch. I like stayed up all night and wrote a sketch. And it was a funny sketch. It was called Holy Road Trip. And it was all about, it was Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad on a road trip, but it was like an 80s road trip movie. And like they were like just doing like zingers and one-liners. I thought it was a very funny first sketch. And I wrote it, and then they did it in the show, and that's when I was on acid, and I was like, I can write. And so then I kept writing. And so when I came out to LA, I was like, "Oh great, I'll submit as a writer as well, and that way I have more opportunities to work." And but it was an awakening moment as a performer, you know. I was very for sure that all I was going to do is perform. That I was just,
at that point you had separated the two ideas, when in fact you had the...
I knew that I could write words down, but it was just one of those things where I was like, "I'm not a writer." There's other people that I've met and they're like, you know, quiet and reserved, and then they write something and hand it to you. And so I was like, "That's not me. I'm, you know, boisterous and loud, and I just like to walk out on stage and do stuff." But then when I was like put into a moment where I like focused in and was like, "I can do this," I kind of tricked myself into believing it, and was a writer too. So
wow. I feel like this advice was specifically for me, so thank you so much. I will get
do
some
not
business
so
much.
Part. Some acid so far. Do not do that.
Do not ask to improvise. Do take some liquid acid.
And
grab a
Colton's
box cutters.
I want Colton's career, so I'm just gonna do everything he says.
I'm gonna emulate.
I'm gonna move in your block too. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I should, man.
Hey, listen, maybe, who knows? I'm like, I did, like I said, I went and we hung out one day, me and the girls, and it was, and the kids, and it was just like, it was such a cute little like neighborhood. Like, it's like, it was really cute, but Again, thank you so, so much for being here. You are so amazing. We love watching you on stage. We love watching everything you write and everything you're in. And we're so excited to see what else you will be doing. Because mm-hmm. I know you're going to be doing some stuff that is just going to be amazing. So we can't wait. Is there anything that you want to plug or your handles? I know you also have a podcast sometimes, right? With or is that not...
Sure. I do a podcast called Voyage to the Stars with Felicia Day and Janet Varney and Kirsten Vengus and who else is in our show? Steve. I forget Steve's last name.
And Steve.
Steve Burke. So check that out. Super fun. Okay. It's a space podcast. But I also have two new cartoons coming out. One on Nickelodeon called Middlemost Post. And one on Amazon called Fairfax. So be on the lookout for both of those. I'll be the principal in Fairfax. And I'll be the bad guy in Middlemost Post. So.
Fun. Nice. And what are your socials for people to follow you at?
It's just Captain Dope, CaptainDope. Captain Dope, that's me.
Dale. Well, we'll make sure to tag you when we drop the episode. Hey. And if you guys want to follow us, you could follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG, at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. And you could follow me at Raisa Licea on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me at, of course, It's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Azimo on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at pornhorny.com.
Pornhornyvisionboard.com.
Oh, thank you, Carlos. I always forget that.
Which is also the title of this episode.
Sweet three, horny, porny. Yeah.
Go. I'm at the Tony Roderick, which no one follows because I always do that dumb bit. But Colton, thank you so much for being here. We're all big fans of you.
Please take care of your ankles. We need you walking around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.